strange statement of the Gemara, Heichen Chayiv Adar Lamedes Bnei Torah, and how far is a person's the father's obligation to each other? So we said the Gemara basically has two different biurim. So what that meant, either that meant in terms of how much Torah you have to teach, or how many generations, how far down the line you have to go. So we pointed out yesterday that both of the pshatim were very shrewd, because the Pasha says is that of course you have to teach everybody. This is a phrase that says Chayiv Adar Lamed LaKol HaTamidim. And then it's very hard to believe that the chiyuv to teach a child Torah is only because of the tzav. So we pointed out that it would appear from the Rambam, then the Chiddush is Ma'arich on the Rambam, that the Rambam was not in Shabbos Gemara, that the Gemara was only addressing the chiyuv limud b'schar. That the chiyuv limud b'chinam, it's a double portion that the father has to teach the child kol Torah kula. So even though that seems to be what the Rambam says, it was pretty fairish in the Rambam, the Chiddush clearly is going that way, and many of the Achronim go along those lines. The Kesef Mishnah doesn't say that way. The Kesef Mishnah learned Pshat in the Gemara, Mamash Pshutel, that a Heichem Chayiv Adar Lamedes Bnei Torah means that Malam de Mikra, the Eina Malam de Mishnah, that you're talking about Mechuyim, even Bechinam. You want to teach him, that's a nice thing, but you're not Mechuyim. Teach him Mishnah Gemara, even Bechinam. And the Kesef Mishnah himself is sensitive to the fact that the Rambam doesn't sound that way. And the Rambam quotes this Gemara in effect, so he quotes it with the phrase Beschar. And the Kesef Mishnah says, it's love dafka. Didn't really mean it. He didn't mean it's dafka b'schar lafuke b'chinim. Kesef Mishnah, even though between me and you, that's clearly the easier pshat in the Gemara. In terms of the text of the Gemara, Heichem Chayiv Adar Lamed, the Gemara doesn't say Heichem Chayiv Adar Lamed is b'no b'schar. The Gemara doesn't say the word b'schar. So the Kesef Mishnah's pshat is easier in terms of the text of the Gemara, but it doesn't really fit into the Lashon Rambam, and conceptually it's very hard for us to understand. So when you learn the pshat like the Rambam seems to be learning, or like the Kesef Mishnah seems to be learning, there's clearly a chiluk between Mikra versus Mishnah and Gemara in some degree. What exactly constitutes Mikra for these purposes? So the Gemara says that Lamda Mikra Emalam the Mishnah Vyamarav Mikra Zu Torah. So how do you learn pshat Mikra Zu Torah? So Rashi points out Torah Velona Vyamuksuvim. That the chiyuv, either the chiyuv b'schar or the chiyuv b'chinam of teaching a son Torah is only the chamishah chumshei Torah, and not mechuyav to teach him nach. So Rashi learned that pshat b'das Rav. That's what Rav was saying when he said Mikra Zu Torah as a niyuv. That's only chumash, not other things. But the Achronim point out that if you look in the Rambam doesn't sound that way. The Rambam is quoting this Gemara that the father is a chiyuv, either b'schar, b'chinam, whatever it is, to teach the child Mikra. So the Rambam writes a lashon tarshi b'chsaf kula something. He uses some kind of a lashon which is clearly inclusive rather than non-inclusive, like Rashi is saying. What does it mean? Kol Tarshi B'Chsav Kula. So the Rambam seems to be alluding to what he writes also in the Chastam HaTorah, that when we talk about this often later on in the week, when the Gemara says that there's a chiyah for each person to be Mishalish Zman Nemuda of a Mikra, a Mishnah of a Gemara, they have to spend a third of your time learning Mikra. So the other Rambam says the favorite that Nevi'im Uksuvim Abachlal Mikra, that is considered to be part of Tarshi B'Chsav. So Pashas, when the Rambam says that there'll be the chiyah for Lalamid as Beno Torah, that the chiyuv is a lambda mikra, so the Rambam felt the necessity to say kol toshu b'sav, kol toshu b'sav kula. So clearly the Rambam is assuming that you're going to figure out that this chiyuv of mikra includes the v'im of k'suvim. So that's like this Rashi in the Rambam. Within this chiyuv of teaching mikra, does the chiyuv stop at chamisha chamshei Torah, or does it include the v'im of k'suvim? Of course, the problem is, according to the Rambam, how does the Gemara read? What did Rava mean to say when Rava said Mikra Zu Torah? Bishlam, according to Rashi, so Mikra Zu Torah meant Lamait Nevi'im Uksuvim. But according to the Rambam, that there is a Chiyuv Alam in Nevi'im Uksuvim. So what does Mikra Zu Torah mean? So the Bach writes that he thinks Mikra Zu Torah means that, the other way, means you shouldn't think that Mikra means just to teach the kid how to read. Because I might think that all you have to do is teach him where the Asnachas are, where the Sapasiks are, teach him the Aleph Beis. You don't have to really explain to him what the Chumash says. So Kamash Pulan, Mikra Zu Torah, Mikra doesn't just mean Kriya, like in elementary school. So sometimes they have time to learn Kriya, and sometimes they learn Chumash. So Kriya means they just teach them how to pronounce the words properly, whereas Chumash means that they translate, they tell them the Taisha, tell them what's going on. So the Bach says that the Rambam learned that Mikra Zu Torah comes to say that don't think that Mikra is just Kriya. Kamash Pulan, Mikra is Torah. And what is Torah? Torah means Tarshim Chassav, of course, the entire Tanakh. So Machlokes Rashi and the Rambam, where the Rava statement of Mikra Zu Torah is coming lamai, is coming to exclude the Vim of Tsunim, like Rashi learns, or where the Mikra Zu Torah is coming to include, they have to teach them the Pshat of the Pasuk, it's not just enough to teach them how to read. This question that the Rishonim are having, whenever we use the phrase Mikra, in our sugya, where the Mikra has the connotation of Torah Shebichsav in the sense of Om Vechamisha Chum Shetorah, or whether it includes all the Nevi'im of Tzuvim. So we find this issue really comes up in many areas of halacha, both in terms of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah and in other areas as well. It means, what exactly does the halacha category of Torah Shebichsav mean? We throw around the phrase Torah Shebichsav a lot. So this, whenever we speak about the dinim of Torah Shebichsav, does Torah Shebichsav only mean the Chamisha Chumshei Torah? But does Torah Shebichsav, by definition, include all of Nevi'im of Tzuvim? So when it comes to this mitzvah of the law, the Torah Shebichsav, which seems to be a machlokes Rashi and the Rabbah, so we find this in other areas as well. There is a fascinating machlokes between the Rambam and the Ra'ivah that appears in the end of Hilchos Megillah, where the Rambam quotes the Maimon Chazal that kol ha'faksuv masidim lehisbatel, chutz mekriyas ha'megillah, that liyasad love and yimosad Mashiach, so all the ksuvim are no longer going to be relevant. What does that mean? They're not going to be relevant. So the Rambam writes that they're not going to exist anymore, that the beam of ksuvim aren't going to exist anymore. Why is that? Why should it be that the Yemos Mashiach and the beam of ksuvim are going to disappear? So the Gemara says in Maseches Nedarim that the primary reason for giving klais on beam of ksuvim was lachzir lamutav, to teach them how to be chazir b'tshuva, that the Nevi'im were responding to when klais were being chaltei, so they had a given tachacha. But the ksuvim also are primarily tachacha, primarily teaching us how to live our lives. So Meheri, Bana Mikdash, Shibas Mashiach, Kama Mola Arz, Deyas Hashem, so there won't be any money for it anymore. So the Nevi'im of ksuvim are going to disappear. The only part of Kisvei HaKadosh that will remain Yom Vod, says the Rambam, is of course the Chamisha Chumshei Torah and Kriyas HaMegillah. That's a special pasuk. Zichron LeYosef Mizarim, a special avtacha, that somehow Kriyas HaMegillah is always going to remain around. But the Chamisha Chumshei Torah will exist, says the Rambam, but the Nevi'im HaKsuvim are going to be Vodah. So then the Rambam writes, but the Chamisha Chumshei Torah will for sure remain around, and the Torah Shebaal Peh will of course remain around. The Ba'adu, the Halachas are going to remain around. The Rambam says that's, we believe, Yamuna Shalema. That's part of one of the Gimli Kareem Amunah. Someone from Torah, please call 2-1. Rabbi, sir, or someone from Torah, please call 2-1. The Rambam develops as one of the Gimli Kareem Amunah, Shah, Zel Satur, Lote. That the Torah itself is never going to change. There's never going to be a shinui in the Torah. Even Yamasa Mashiach, the Torah is going to be the same. So the Rambam says, what does that mean, the Torah is going to be the same? That means the Chamisha Chumshei Torah are going to be the same, and the Torah Shebaal Peh is going to be the same, but the Nevi'im of Ksuvim are going to disappear, says the Rambam. So the Rite says that can't be. The Rite says that if there's a Haftocha that tells the Torah, Lo Tei Mukhlefes, that part of our Amuna is that the Torah is going to remain the Yalom Void, so what do you mean the Nevi'im of Ksuvim are going to disappear? We're going to throw them out of Tanakh, two-thirds of Torah Shebaal Peh is going to disappear? That would be a bitter of the Torah. That can't be. So what does Chazal mean when they say the Kol HaKsuv Masidim LeHisbatel? So the Ravid says what it means is that no one's going to bother reading them anymore because they're not going to be relevant. It's about most of the purpose of the Nevi'im of Ksuvim, which is to be to teach us how to do tshuva, to correct our ways. We should learn from our history, not to fall into the same pitfalls that we did in the past. So says the Ravid, we're not going to need that anymore. So Mashiach, the Nevi'im of Ksuvim, they're going to be on the shelves. The Vavid are going to be set to the cross. Gedolos are going to be sold. And no one's going to bother reading them. No one's going to want them anymore, because there's not going to be any purpose of learning them anymore. But in terms of that being Baltel, in terms of saying that the Nevi'im of Ksuvim are going to cease to exist, that's not Shayach, says the Ravid. That would be a violation of Zos HaTayr Elotei Mukhlefes. So in some places they hold like the Ravid, and they hold it was still a holy Beimos of Mashiach already, because everyone thinks they're ready in the Hikvus of the Mashiach. So the Gzeru, they don't want to start learning Tanakh now. Gzeru, you make up to learn the Tzrei Yemos of Mashiach.
There are at least some halachos that are learned after Pesukim and Navi.
Yeah, so that's what the Gemara says. Yeah, so the Gemara says in a few places that any dinim that are learned out from Pesukim and Navi are not really learned out from the Pesukim and Navi, because the Navi doesn't have the ability to be Mechadish Dover. They're really Allah Moshe Mishinai, and they recorded this. The Navi is telling us historically different things that are happening. So Ramele describes the Navi will allude to certain pre-existing halachos, but in terms of the Navi actually creating the halacha, so that can't be. Essentially, the only other sefer that the Gemara says would have been given to Klai, so anyway, even though they wouldn't have been chalting the Sefer Yehoshua, because of the Tchumen of Eretz Yisrael, you have to know where the borders of Eretz Yisrael are. So the second half of Sefer Yehoshua tells you exactly where the boundaries are, where the borders of each of the Shvatim are. So the Gemara says in the fourth breath in the Dharma, in the third, fourth breath, the Gemara says that Omar Lachati Yisrael, that a Kaiser wouldn't have been chalting, so then Lo Nit Nalem, Lo Chamisha Chim Shetur, Sefer Yehoshua Bulam. That's all they would have received. The rest of the Nevi'im Ksuvim was only necessary, it was an afterthought, it was only a B'diyevid, because they were chalkis. That's what the Rambam and Ravid are saying. And Yemos HaMashiach, so then it's not really necessary. So according to the Rambam, it's Mamash going to be Bokdil. And according to the Ravid, it's going to be Kayim, it's just not going to be read that much. So this Machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid, may not just be a historical question, what's going to be Yemos HaMashiach, but it may be a fundamental question in terms of the relationship between the Nevi'im of Ksuvim and the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. Namely, when we use a phrase in Halacha called the Torah Shebichsav, We're speaking about mikvah, Torah Shebichsav. So does Torah Shebichsav really include Nevi'im Ksuvim? It means once the Nevi'im Ksuvim were given to be written, once the Nevuahs were given and Chazal was conveyed that these Svarim were part of the Kisra HaKadosh, so they become transformed to have a Shem Torah Midaraisa. That means the Torah recognizes the Ksivas Nevi'im Ksuvim to be a Chenek in the Torah Shebichsav on the level of the Araisa. So that's how the Rabbit seems to be assuming, that once you say that these two can become a chelik of the Torah Shebichsav on a level of the Araisa, so then they can never become both of, because that would be a violation of Zelos HaTorah, Lotei Mukhlefes. Because the Rambam seems to hold that no, that just because these psukim were given, just because these svarim were given, they were still in a separate category. They're not considered to be the Torah Shebichsav per se. So that's a little bit related somehow to this Machlokes Rashi and the Rambam, a little bit, not 100%. It's a little bit related to this Machlokes Rashi and the Rambam, but the sheet is kind of a little bit, the Rambam doesn't end up on the right team. It means the Torah says there's a chiyuv to teach mikra. You have to teach Torah Shebichsav. So the question is, what does that mean? How do you define Torah Shebichsav? So the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, Torah Shebichsav was clearly only defined as Chamishim Chumshei Torah. But now in the days of Yeshayahu HaNavi, that the definition of Torah Shebichsav changed. So according to some Rishonim, it does change. According to some Rishonim, now there's a new definition of Torah Shebichsav, it includes the Nevi'im Ksuvim. And according to other Rishonim, maybe it doesn't include the Nevi'im Ksuvim. So again, the Shittas don't exactly work out. The Rambam ends up on the wrong side. But the idea is an interesting idea. Is how do we relate the Nevi'im Ksuvim vis-a-vis Torah Shebichsav?
Does that mean the Nevi'im Ksuvim were Torah Shebichsav?
I'm not sure what they are. I don't know what category in Halacha they are. Not sure. Then there's another Machlokes HaRishon, which is probably also related to this global question about the relationship between Torah, about Chamish Chumshei Torah and Nevi'im Ksuvim. There's a Gemara Masechet Gittin in the fifth parak that tells us that Dvarim Shebichsav Yet HaRashem Omer Bi'Alpeh, that anything that's written in the Chumash is Torah Shebichsav, so you're not supposed to say it Ba'Alpeh. It's machlokes Rishonim, what that means. Some Rishonim say that means you're never allowed to say it off. That means you get up and you say Gracious Bolo Kid, you say the first few Pesukim of Gracious by heart, you're in violation of that Issa Deraisa. And other Rishonim say that the Issa is that when you motzi somebody else in a Pasuk, when you sing a Pasuk on behalf of somebody else, the hopes of Deicha Vasai, so you have to do that Mitach Aksal. That's machlokes Rishonim, machlokes Shacharach and the Vilna Gom. Shacharach holds that the Issa applies to any Kriyas HaPesukim whatsoever. The only thing is, the Shulchan Aruch is meikel that it only applies to Pesukim, which not everybody knows. If a Pesuk that's Shadu Lefi HaKol, that everybody knows the Pesuk, so then it's not a problem. Then it's Heter Gomer to say it Ba'al Peh. The Shulchan Aruch seems to be assuming that the nature of the Yisr of Rosh HaBichsav, Yet HaRosh HaRosh HaBichsav, is that we're afraid you're going to make a mistake. It's like Siyag B'Araisa. The Torah says, K'sav L'cha Asad Dvar Ma'ela, Ki Api Ad Dvar Ma'ela Karas El Chabris, so the Gemara says, there's K'sav L'cha, there's Torah HaBichsav, and then there's Api Ad Dvar Ma'ela, there's Torah HaBichsav. Then you have to keep the two separate. Torah Shebichsav has to remain Bichsav, and Bi'alpeh has to remain Bi'alpeh. So the Shulchan Aruch seems to be learning that the nature of the Isser of saying Divrei Torah, of Torah Shebichsav Bi'alpeh, is it's like a Gzeir, so to speak. We're afraid you're going to make a mistake. So it's a pasuk like Shema Yisrael. Everybody knows Shema Yisrael by heart. So Shema you're allowed to say by heart. That's what the Shulchan Aruch passes. And the Gra says that there's no problem whatsoever that the whole Isser doesn't apply to saying Shema, to saying Karbonos, to Duchening. Because the only time that the Yisra applies is only when I want to be motzi somebody else, yideichai vaso. I'm saying a pasuk for myself, so that's not a problem altogether. That's machlekes in the Rishon, machlekes the Mechaber and the Gra Paskin. So Tosfos, in discussing this Yisra of Dvar Shebichsav, Yet HaRosh and Amar Bi'Alpeh, so Tosfos in Temura, Tosfos in Baba Kama, quote two different days. Tosfos in the Sechus Temura, so Tosfos in Temura writes that they think that this issue of Dvarim Shebichsav, Yet HaRosh HaNavi Bi'Alpeh, only applies to the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, doesn't apply to the Nevi'im Ksuvim. That's what they're defending the practice of people say Tehillim Bi'Alpeh. So we say, that's okay, say Tehillim Bi'Alpeh is right, say Tehillim Bi'Alpeh, that's all right, because the issue doesn't apply to Dvarim to Nevi'im Ksuvim. Whereas those of Baba Kama and Dav Gimel Medei disagrees. Taisha says that the issue applies even to Nevi'im Ksuvim. It's clear from that tells us the issue applies even to Nevi'im Ksuvim. So what's the machlokes? What's the nekudas of machlokes? So it seems to be also related to the same shame shaila. Namely, the Torah was conveyed, there's a din of Torah Shebichsav. And Torah Shebichsav is not allowed to be said bi'alpeh. Sof l'chos advar ma'ela, which is the mokor that you're not allowed to say Torah Shebichsav bi'alpeh. So what's the Torah Shebichsav? So is Torah Shebichsav only the Chamish Yechum Shem Torah? And the Nevi'im Ksuvim, I don't know if you call them Torah Shebichsav. There's something else, but some new chelek of Torah. But they're not called the Kedushas Torah Shebichsav. But they say, no, that once these parts of the Torah were added on, once the Nevi'im Ksuvim were instituted, So they become nepach lios chelik of the mikra. They become toshvach sabah and lulav deraisa, and that is the deraisa sabachas the karmela. Whatever the nature, whatever the gedarim of that halacha are, that carries over to levim of psuvim as well. So that seems to be the same issue that we're touching on. So we have a little bit of contradiction. So we're not exactly sure what to do with all these things. We have this global question about how do you define mikra? Does mikra mean only chamisha chumshei Torah, or does mikra mean all of Tanakh? So in our sugya in Kedushin Daf Lamed, we have machlokes and rishonim. Rashi says it means only chamisha chumshei Torah, and the Rambam seems to say it means all of Tanakh. Then we have the machlokes, the Rambam, the Raivin, and the end of the Megillah about whether the din that the Torah has to remain the olam vod, does that only include the chamisha chumshei Torah? Does that also include the vimik suvim? And we have the third issue, the 2 days in Tosfos, about the Isser of Tarshim of Saf, to be said the Alter, is that limited only to Chamisha Chumshe Torah, or does that apply to all of the Tanakh? This is still Shirayim from yesterday, so we have to continue on that sugya of today. So we mentioned yesterday that the Gemara has another pshat in Arheichan Chayivan and Lamedes Bino Torah, and that Arheichan means how many generations? So father has a chiyum in Atar to teach his son. A grandfather may or may not have chiyuv to teach a grandson. That's for 2 days. Machlokes HaTanaim. But past that, everyone seems to agree doesn't exist. So that was that problem. We left off with the end of the show yesterday. What do you mean it doesn't exist? But there's a sefrei that says b'shinabu l'banecha v'anecha ilu tamidecha. You have to teach all the tamidim. So why should your great grandson be any worse than a regular talmid? So following the lines of what we said yesterday, that our sugya is only talking about. You're forced to say that anyway, according to the Rambam in the Lecha Mishnah. So then one could use that teretz to answer this kash as well. But the Gemara is talking about how far must the person, how many generations do I have to pay tuition for? So I have to pay tuition for my son's education, and I have to pay tuition for my grandson's education. But for my great-grandson's education, that I'm not mechuyav to teach. If my great-grandson comes and wants to sit on my knee and he wants to teach him the alabes and teach him how to be chumash, Kavaldik, it's a wonderful thing. So then my great grandson is not going to be any worse than somebody else's son. But in terms of the lambda bischar, so the buck stops here. That you can only charge the father for tuition, and you can charge the grandfather for tuition. That's what all the day schools do. They're very, very smart. All the day schools, whenever they send out, you know, campaigns to raise money, they don't just send the money. They don't just send to the parents, because the parents usually have a few kids in school and they can't afford it. They send to the grandparents. The grandparents are already retired. They have all the money already saved up. And who doesn't want to spend money on the grandchildren? So if you take a look, you see all the big donations always come from the grandparents. Don't come from the parents. Anyway, so they learned this Gemara well. So this idea that I have a chiyuv to teach my child Torah, and I have a chiyuv to teach my grandchild Torah, and that's even the schar. Whereas to teach somebody else's child Torah, I'm not mechuyav b'schar. Teach my great grandchild Torah, Pashas, I'm not mechuyav b'schar. So how exactly do we understand this? How do we understand the nature of this obligation of teaching a child and a grandchild Torah in light of the general global obligation of teaching everybody Torah? So there is a word from Rav Baruch Ber. Those are this Bicha Shmuel thing floating around here. So Rav Baruch Ber writes in Bicha Shmuel that he thinks, also a classic brisker of art, he thinks that there are really two different halachas of the chiyuv of the father lamed as b'no Torah. So if you look at the Rambam formulates the din of... If you look at the Rambam formulates the obligation to teach his son Torah at the beginning of his Tamei Torah, so the Rambam starts out by saying, you mechuyav to teach your son Torah, and you mechuyav to teach your grandson Torah, and then he quotes the Sifrei in the same halacha, says every chacham is mechuyav to teach everybody Torah. And then he asks Akasha, so in Cain, that I'm mechuyav to teach everybody Torah, so what's the chiddush of teaching the son? So he says, that's just a dila haktim. It means if I have a choice between, I have an hour set aside that I can teach, either I can say a shiur, or I can learn chumash with my son. So the din is that lahaktim comes first, that I'm mechuyav to teach my son first before I teach other people Torah. Assuming that my son wants to sit with me for an hour and listen to my teaching in the Tajin Gracious. May not happen. So the Rambam is clear that the maila of a father teaching his own son over a person teaching anybody else's son is basically just a dimahaktim. So it says in Baruch Ber, what basically the Rambam is saying, from the fact that the Rambam put both of these halachas, the chiv of teaching his son Torah and the chiv of teaching all of Klaisel Torah into the same halacha, the Rambam is telling us that's basically the same mechayev. It's one mechayev. The mechayev is to teach Torah to Klaisel. That's the mechayev. Hello, what? there are dargas. That means I'm mechuyev to teach those who are closest to me. So who's closest to me? So my son hopefully is closest to me. And who's next closest to me? My grandson is next closest to me. So there are levels of kedima within this obligation. But in terms of the nature of the obligation, it's basically the same chayvas malami teira, whether I'm teaching my son or whether I'm teaching a stranger. It's the same mechayv. It's the same mitzvah b'shenat l'rabanecha. It's just that there are kedimas, like mashal v'adar v'domeh, which is the mitzvah to give tzedakah. So in terms of the etzem mitzvah tzedakah, it makes no difference whether I give tzedakah to my next door neighbor or whether I give tzedakah to someone who lives in Australia. But in terms of kedima, I'm supposed to give the aniya ircha kodmin. If for whatever reason I choose not to give aniya ircha kodmin, and I take my dollar, I give it to the guy in Australia, I've still fulfilled the mitzvah tzedakah, there's no question about it. It's just that I didn't do lechatchila, I didn't do the dine kedima that the Torah wanted. So that's the same thing Rav Baruch Ben says here also, that in terms of, he doesn't give that moshel, but I think the moshel is a correct moshel. And in terms of the etzem achiyah, of the nature of the mitzvah, it's mamash the same mitzvah. The mitzvah is lalami Torah leklal Yisrael. There are kedimas, my son first, then comes my grandson, and then comes Shai Yisrael. So says Rav Baruch Ben, that's true, that the nature of the obligation to teach my son Torah is not really a relationship, it's not because he's my son per se, that's not the mechayev, it's really part of the overall obligation of teaching all of Klal Yisrael. So then the sugi in Kiddushin is very difficult. Because the Brayis in Kiddushin, which we're learning, the sugi which started in Chofetz Chaim Aleph, is the mitzvahs abeinu la'av. We're talking about all the chiyuvim that a father has, the unique obligations that a father has towards a son. That's the entire topic that we're talking about for the last 2 weeks. So what are they? So lemolo, the chiyuv to be ma'al your child. So clearly, that's a unique father-son obligation. Clearly, the obligation of the father to be ma'al his son is a different obligation than the general obligation of all of Klai Yisrael being ma'al. That's just a bit of kedima. That's much more than that. Like the Moshe of the Rambam is very clear that way. The Rambam Shita is that the bracha lachnisa v'risa shlav mavino is only said when the father's around. Why is that? Because if the father's not around, so then that mitzvah of kashetziva selakim, or yodol avam sitzach mino, kashetziva selakim, is not fulfilled. It's just the regular mitzvah of bris milah is fulfilled, so that we get to it, alam milah. So the Rambam seems to hold that the two brachas that are said by a bris, the bracha of alam milah and the bracha of achniso, each one is emphasizing a different aspect of the mitzvah of milah. That there's the general mitzvah of milah, which is at all klal Yisrael, that's the bracha alam milah. And then there's a unique obligation that the father has lachmisa bevrisa. So if the father's around, you make the bracha. If the father's not around, then you don't make the bracha. We happen not to pass him like the Rambam. Could be we pass him that the bracha lachmisa is totally reasonable. We'll see that later on. We're going to come back to him a little bit later. But the Rambam in theory is right. It means the idea that there's a unique chiyuv of the father to be ma'al the son, that everybody agrees, that's our sukkah. You don't have to go further than here. The Vayom al-Abim is like, but no, it's a mitzvah sabbein al-Av. Or when it comes to Pidyon HaBen also. Clearly it's a chiyuv that's miyuchad on the father to be pulled to his son. If the father doesn't do it, then you can pull, should we do it, not do it. But in terms of the ikar chiyuv, clearly there's a it's part of the mitzvah HaBen al-Av. It doesn't matter what the lumbus is, what we spoke about last week, whether the mitzvah is basically on the son, now the father's a shaliach, or whether it's a mitzvah b'yatzmus al-Av, that's irrelevant in this discussion. But to say that the mitzvah of a father to be pulled to the son is the same as all of Klal Yisrael, that's ridiculous. Because Haraya or Kaisel doesn't have a chiyuv to be called the Bechayim Shebeneha. And Kahina Bechayina, Vasio Isha, Alam the Umnis, Vashita Bemayim. What is a new chiyuv? I have to go teach the whole world how to swim. I have to teach my own kid how to swim, Vashita Bemayim. So I have to teach everybody Umnis. I have to marry off all the people in the world. No, Mapito. I have a chiyuv to be Metapo with my own children. Those are the mitzvahs of Abein Ala'av. So Cesar Baruch Ber, in Cain, Alam the Torah doesn't fit into his Braisa. Because if the Rambam, this formulation of the mitzvah of a father teaches son Torah, is based on the chi of Klali, that all of Klali so has a chi of to... Anyone else taking?
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm doing here. Okay, let's get your take this one. So if the chi of... If the chi of teaching a son Torah is a chi of Klali that doesn't relate to the father to the son. The fact that the father does to the son is just a din of kedima, but it's not an intrinsic chi of Ala'av Labein. So what's it doing in Kedushin? Why does it appear in the Braisa? How could have a Gemara quote that Chayav Adam Bivno, a father's chayav to do to his son, Lamol Lefdol Salam Tatar Lam Tatar, doesn't belong here, because it's not really true, it's not a chi of Ala'av Labein. So says it Baruch Ber, Al Korchach, you see from here when you put together the Gemara and Chavtas and Kedushin and the Rambam, the beginning of the Sama Torah, this is not a contradiction, but that they're both true. That there are two different halachos that a father has, the Lamed Torah is the Lamed of Mel Torah. But I sit down and I teach Chumash to my kid, so what I'm doing, says Rabbi Achber, and I'm brisk about it, I'm not doing two different things. There are two different kinyumim that I'm getting. Number one, I'm teaching Torah to Klal Yisrael, so the Ikaron, there's no difference whether I teach my kid or teach somebody else's kid. It's just that in Kadim, I should teach my own kid. But in addition to that din klali of Talmud Torah, Kol Klal Yisrael, there's a din prati, there's a unique obligation of Sa'av, Lalam, and his Bino Torah. It's not just a din kibina, it also has the aspect of mitzvah Sa'av Aladein. So comes Rabbi Achber and says, and that explains away the notion of notos char or not. Whether you're mechuyev to pay, whether you're mechuyev to give to pay to teach your child Torah. So says Rabbi Achber, the first part of the obligation, the din klali, that I have to teach all of Klal Yisrael Torah, which my son is a member of Klal Yisrael, says Rabbi Achber, he doesn't think that I have to spend money on that. That's not an obligation to spend money. Why should I spend any more money than anybody else? I mean, so happen to this malamit to make is happen to Rebbe come to me and say, you have to pay tuition. I say, what do you mean I have to pay tuition? I have a chiyuv to teach Klal Yisrael, and you have a chiyuv to teach Klal Yisrael. So why should I pay you? You should do it for free. He says, it's your chiyuv the same as my chiyuv. The din kadima is not a mechayev to pay money for it. So in terms of the mitzvah klalos to teach all of Klal Yisrael, that's the Rebbe doesn't have any right to charge any money for that. Forgetting about the issues of yesterday, of Tosh and Vassav, Tosh and Vassav, and the Hechate say that the father has to support somebody else to teach Torah if everybody has the same field. Says there, what's the Mechayev to pay money to teach a child Torah? That must be the second din that's Mechayev now. That must be the din of Ha'avol Abay. That must be the unique, that Chiyuv Prati, it's my personal mitzvah to teach my child Torah. So for personal mitzvahs, that's nobody else's mitzvah, that's my mitzvah. So we have a klal, there's a mitzvah, because there's no mitzvahs, there's a klal that I have to do mitzvahs, and if I can't afford to do mitzvah, if I can't do it for free, I have to pay money for it, unless it takes up chomesh, it's a different tour. But I can't just say I'm not going to buy a lulav because it costs $300. Of course I have to lay out $100 to do a lulav, and if I don't want to buy a lulav, so there's a din of klefen al mitzvahs, and then David will come and take the money away from you. There is a machlekes aposkim where the Talmud Torah really falls under the category of actual klefen al mitzvahs. The David really come and take the money away, because the Gemara says that in Maseches Chulin that a mitzvah shemat mitzchad b'tzida. We mentioned this in the past, right? About mitzvah shemat mitzchad b'tzida. So Beis Din aren't klefen for that. If it's a mitzvah where the Torah itself tells you what the schar is, so then Beis Din isn't going to beat you up for it. So that's a big question. Is Talmud Torah, the chiyuv of teaching a child Torah, is that a matan schar b'tzida? So it's a little bit shaky because it says l'manat devasav is b'neichem, and then it says l'man yir b'yimeichem b'neichem. So it sounds like it is a matan schar b'tzida. On the other hand, that pasuk l'man yir b'yimeichem is not written immediately after the chiyuv to teach Torah. Maybe that's going back on the zusim. It's going back on other things in the parsha. That's a technical issue. Where Beis Din actually enforce this halacha of schar, where they actually go and take your money away if you don't pay tuition. But in terms of my chiyuv tapeshmaya, so of course I have a chiyuv to pay tuition. Of course I have a chiyuv to the melamed Torah to my son, even if it's going to cost me money. Of course I have to pay for a melamed. And what's the mechayev of paying for a melamed? Says in the book there, that's the chiyuv of Abayin Alav, of Abayin Alav. The same way I have to pay for a model, the same way I got to lay out the five shekels for pitching a bed, the same way I got to pay to teach my child this, the same way I got to pay the caterer to marry off my child, the same way I got to pay for a life path to teach him how to swim. So I have to do all the chiyuv of Abayin Alav. Of course I have to pay money for them if I can't get them done for free. But that chiyuv of paying money is not the chiyuv of all of Klal Yisrael. That's the chiyuv miyuchad of a father to a son.
Are both chiyuv adopting the same process?
Yeah, so that's a problem according to Rabbi Rabbeinu. Where does this come from exactly? So he has an interesting beer from the Rambam. He has a beer from the Gemara, but where did Chazal get it from? Means how many psukim are there for the chiyuv of teaching Torah to a child? There is a pasuk v'shinam tov v'anechad. There's a pasuk v'madat amosam v'smenechad. But we don't find in the Gemara itself that the Gemara should say that these are fundamentally different. So that's a little bit of a problem. Is where do you see the Farish in the Gemara, this idea? Where do you see this in the Chumash itself, this idea?
Our Gemara itself doesn't bring the Shinatam in conjunction with being the Lamed Torah.
Right. Our Gemara speaks about the Lamed Torah, right.
In the Rambam, it's hard
because the Rambam does quote. The Rambam quotes the Shinatam, the Sifrei that...
It just means that the Sifrei and the our Gemara, so you could easily say that the Shinatam is the general
theory. Right. The question is, how do Chazal know that? Both Psukim say Levanecha. So if you say Levanecha means literally, they should both be literally. If neither one, I don't know what is more literal than the other. See, in the Gemara itself, you don't see that much of a point in the difference in the Pesukim. True, the Gemara always speaks about the Pesukim, we're mad at them or something. The Gemara shies away from Bishinantam. So there's a verse from Shem Shafal Hirsch, a whole big deal about the fact that he thinks that the two different Pesukim, when they mean two different types of Limud HaTorah, he thinks that Bishinantam Vanecha, like the Gemara says later on, Shir Divrei Torah B'Chudad and B'Ficha. So he says that means to teach like the Maskana. That means to know what the Halacha is, to know the Halacha Pesukim, to know what you got to do in life. So he said, that's what he thinks Mishinamto Vanecha means. You have to teach his sons, you got to teach them, they should know Pesach Halacha. Not at them, Limud means the whole process of learning. It means the Shach HaVatayra, the Pilpul, the Tais and the Rechayim, everything, that's Limad HaTem HaSam is Vanecha. So he thinks they're two different Chiyuvim. That's why he points out that he thinks that if you look carefully at the Gemara, when the Gemara quotes the Torah from teaching your daughter's Torah, so the Gemara quotes from Limad HaTem. The Gemara doesn't quote Mishinamto. There's no Drush in Shas that says, Mishinamto Vanecha Bo with Nosecha. The pasuk is when the matter is benechem v'lo benosechem. So he says, why is that chiluk? So he says, it's poshut, because the halacha is pesukim. Because you have to teach them. That's what the Smach said. That's the Ramah said. Of course, you have to teach your daughters halacha l'maaseh. They also have to be shemishalcha adam dav ra'al tegam gim v'tamul. They have to know what to do in Shabbos. They don't have to know all the Torahs behind. They don't have to know every egli tal, every machlekes, every Torah. That they don't have to know. That's what the matter is benechem. So, but short of that shtickle terror from Shem Shafal Hirsch, you don't see in the Gemaras itself that the words of Mesiach is that a possible Mishikantel of Anethas. I don't know. Yeah,
does that mean that if the only unique mitzvah to the father is to teach him Beschar, does that mean it would be better to teach Beschar than to teach Bechinam?
No, Beschar just means that if Adi teach, if you can teach it yourself, so Matar, Beschar means if you don't have the time, you can't do it.
But
then you gotta pay
then
for
you're just
rabbi.
Doing a
klum, no, you're also doing, you're appointing a rabbi as your shaliach, as your mitzvah. That's also okay. I mean, it's not optimal. The optimal rabbi is father should teach his son, but if it's not shaliach, so then he can be yotzi, his personal chibah, paying a rabbi. So this idea that Rav Baruch Ber is developing, which the Rambam, the Maaseh says, the Rambam says, to pay money for your kids. You can't just... You can't say, sorry, I'm not going to pay tuition because I'm only mechuyev to do bechinam. The fact that you're mechuyev to pay money to teach your children Torah, so that's clearly the halacha, there's no question about that. But Rav Baruch Ber is learning that that's really a dimin haTorah. He's learning that that's part of whatever the pasuk is, whichever pasuk you're learning from, that's the Gemara in Kiddushin Chavtes. The mechayev of paying tuition, according to Rav Baruch Ber, is the Gemara in Kiddushin Chavtes that says it's the mitzvah Zabein Ha'av. The personal obligation, the same mechayev of paying money to mal your child, to pay money to teach your dad, pay money to teach him how to swim, that's the same mechayev to teach him to pay money to teach him Torah. So, although Rav Baruch Ber is claiming this and is claiming this b'das Rambam, there are Rishonim who don't say like this. There are Rishonim, the Feirush, who learn that in the Ikar Adin, min haTorah, you don't really have to pay schar. How do I know which Rishonim say that? So that's what the Gos Maimoni writes. The Gos Maimoni quotes the Rabbeinu Simcha from one of the Rishonim, who says, how do you know you have to pay money to teach your child Torah? Maybe if you know how to do it yourself, if you can do it for free, then you do it for free. But Hechateis, you have to pay money for it. So then the Simcha digs up the Gemara in the Rabbasim, the famous Gemara. The Gemara says in the olden days, so a father would teach his child the Torah, but sometimes you had a situation where the father couldn't, they didn't know how to teach him Torah, whatever it was. So the father felt that if I can't teach him Torah myself, so tell him the child won't learn. Why did they think that way? Why did the fathers in the olden days think that they weren't mechuyev to find somebody else to teach the child Torah? So the Gemara says they used to dash in the basar, v'limadatem osam is b'neichem. So osam is written chaser. So v'limadatem atem is b'neichem. It means they used to think that it was a personal chiyuv that I don't have to lay money out for. If I'm able to do it myself, then matoyv. If I'm not able to do it myself, so tough luck. So the kid will figure out something when he gets old. He'll learn, or he won't learn. It doesn't really matter. So the Gemara says that was the situation in the beginning of Ayisheni. And Yoshua ben Gamla was the Kohen Gadol, so he realized that this is not going to, this can't fly. You can't have a situation like this where half the kids are not really getting any formal education. Either the father, for whatever reason, is busy, doesn't know how to learn himself, and he's out of town, whatever reason, he can't actually teach the child. So they used to think that you don't have to pay money, you don't have to go hire a malam, you don't have to send your kid to a school. Well, you're talking about work as that. So Yoshua ben Gamla was misakered, the Gemara says, that there's going to be a whole elementary school education, and he's going to set up chadorim, and everyone's going to, the little kids are going to come, and we're going to send the parents tuition statements, and they're going to have to pay for it. So you don't want to teach a child, you don't want to do homeschooling, that's fine. You want to do homeschooling, that's also great. You don't want to do homeschooling. You want to go to work and you want to send your kid to school. That's wonderful. We're going to send you a bill at the end of the month to pay for the education. So that's the way the Gemara presents as the takana of Yeshua ben Gamla Kohen Gadol. So Ben Simcha says that Gemara ben Abasha, that Chafalof, that's the Mechayef, the pay tuition. What does that mean? That's the Mechayef. So he sounds like he's learning that Minat Torah, you're not Mechayef to pay tuition. And it's Minat Torah, either do it yourself, or if you can't do it yourself, for whatever reason, you can't do it yourself. So that's it, finished. Then you're not Mechayef to pay money for it. That it's not the type of a mitzvah that you're mechuyev to shell out money for. Ad shabba yeshuv v'yadlo was masakti. No, the father has a chiyuv to make sure that the child gets an education, even if it's going to cost them money. So according to Rabbeinu Simcha, according to Mr. Gos Maimoni, it sounds like this is only the midrash abanah, the mizminat tzayir taka, like the original drasha was, the amount of them was sam is b'neichem, atem is b'neichem. It's a personal chiyuv, but not a personal chiyuv that's going to cost you any money. But Rav Baruch Ber is not saying like that at all. Rav Baruch Ber, Bidas HaRambam, is claiming that it's mamash of Dimin HaTorah, that of course the father has to pay money if he doesn't do it himself. So according to Rav Baruch Ber, well, how do you read the Gemara of Abbasra? What did they used to think in the old days? That's what Lechanishna's Maramis do, that there are two different ways to read this Gemara of Abbasra. The Gemara starts out by saying that in the free of the Gedairus in the old days, so the fathers would teach the sons themselves, and whatever father couldn't do it, so then the son hung out in the street and didn't learn Torah. The father didn't feel compelled to lay out money for it. Ad sheba yeshuv ben gamla, and was misakin that there's going to be a school system and the parents have to pay for it. So comes the lechemishna and merame is that there are two ways to read the maskanas of gemara. Even the maskanas of gemara is like the way I presented it, that yeshuv ben gamla was misakin mid the rabbanon, that now the parents have to pay for education. Or no, that sometimes the gemara uses the phrase tikein. The gemara has a rosh hashanah like this, darash v'tikein. That sometimes the word tikein doesn't mean that it was a din de rabbanon. Tikkun means that they reevaluated the din derayis and they said, you know what, we got it wrong. That's talking not the correct shot of the chumash. When the Torah says, "With the amount of them, osam is b'neichem," so you used to think it meant osam means atem is b'neichem. It's only you personally have to teach your child, but you don't have to lay out money for it. You know what? That's not right. But that drush was incorrect. The practice that we've been having for hundreds of years is wrong. That there's a chi of min haTorah to pay for education, and therefore we're going to institute a whole school system. We're going to force parents to pay money, and that chi of that we're invoking is not a takonas hachamim to pay for tuition. It's a dimi deraisa. That's part of the mitzvah. The matter of masav is b'neichem. The matter of masav is b'neichem on the level of deraisa means either do it yourself or pay somebody to do it. So the Lechemishna says there are two different ways to read the Gemara. So those two different ways to read the Gemara, what did Rav Shua and Ben Gamla do? What exactly was this contribution to Klal Yisrael? Either the din deraisa really was, that was, is, and will always be that you don't have to pay money for tuition, but mid the rabbanon you do, that's a takana of Yeshua ben Gamla. That's how Rav Simcha the Gos Maimon is learning. Or no, that the takana of Yeshua ben Gamla wasn't a takana of mid the rabbanon. It was Darash for his kid that he figured out that mid the deraisa, the din is takha, you do have to pay money. And that's what Rav Baruch Ber is learning. That's what he claims the Rambam is learning. That's what when Chazal speak about paying the schar, the Rambam doesn't just mean a din de rabbanon of takana of Yeshua ben Gamla. It means mamash a din de deraisa, they have to pay tuition. So this is mamash a machleik. Machleik is the where Baruch Ber is trying to rob and repent a simcha, and lachol ma'isim, they send you a tuition statement, so you're mechuyev to pay X, Y, and Z. So what's the mechayev? Is the mechayev the mitzvah derayis of Olam and Esbirel Torah, or is the mechayev the takana shishum and gamma? Nafkamina, how much you can pay, nafkamina, how much you can drain with, I don't know what the nafkamina is. But conceptually, it's a nafkamina. What exactly is the mechayev for the parents to pay for tuition?
If this chuyev mamish child, I mean, to pay for your child's education, is the only to your ben, it's a milah. Would it be better for a parent to not rely on scholarships and you should really go out of the way to hire someone to teach your child in place of that? It's better for a father to do the meal himself.
Well, he could hire the teacher in school. They, of course, there's no
question. But if through scholarship, you're not really hiring him, but would it be better?
No, you're hiring him, just hiring him at a lesser price. So usually they'll get a full scholarship. Full scholarship. So it depends. Depends what the story is. Nobody should be taking a full scholarship I'm not talking about a full scholarship later on. You get a full scholarship to go to Harvard Medical School. You want to take that? That's fine. But I'm saying if you get a full scholarship to elementary school, so cool. I have a little fleeky that if you're able to afford it, of course you shouldn't take the full scholarship. That's not a portion. Whatever you feel you're able to pay, of course you should pay. But sometimes you have situations that you're not able to pay more. So if you're not able to pay more, so then it fits. And then lays bricks. That's part of the system that other people are helping you out. It's like you get it to double a little bit. But
is there a key with this idea that you are being a law major, your son be
yeah, whatever you're paying. The school sets tuition for a year at $10,000, and you're only able to pay $5,000. So you're paying for the Rebbe. You're not paying for the basketball teacher. You're paying for the Lamda Mikri. You're not paying for the Mishnayis teacher. You're teaching. You're paying for whatever you can. That's also for sure. That's also your own key. But everybody agrees that if you're able to avoid taking the scholarships, of course you should take the taste. You should take it. Like any other tzedakah, you're not supposed to take tzedakah if you don't need it. What? What? This chiyuv. That's my daughter's on green tea. Can't make fun of that. She said she has to wear something green today. So the only green outfit that she had was a Shabbos outfit. So I said, okay, wear. Okay, good. So her mother can do when she comes and she realizes it's 4 months. Don't worry about that. She was distraught today. She had a green outfit. Anyway, so this chiyuv. This chiyuv gomer that the father has to teach his son Torah when he's learning for Baruch Be'er, that's in the chayv to do with the schar, simcha, that's in his pechimim. The bottom line is that everyone agrees that minat Torah, the father is a chiyuv to teach his son Torah. And another was in the Chloekis at Tanoim, whether a grandfather has this unique chiyuv to teach a grandson, we pask him that he does. That's because the was machriyat, his vulum and don. That even Avi Aviv has a chiyuv, and Pashas even Bishar. So, what exactly are the guidelines of this new chiyuv of Dalton of Anachal Zevanach that a grandfather is a chiyuv to teach his grandson Torah? So, Rashi is very clear that this chiyuv only is a grandfather's grandson. But it doesn't go to any further generations. You don't say to a great grandson. Rashi says that Ad Heichan Adam Chavu no Bidorosov. So if no, then we know. So of course that's the right shot in the Gemara. If the Gemara is saying Ad Heichan Chayev, and the Gemara is learning what possible shot is, how many generations, so of course the buck stops here. Of course the Chiyuv is only a grandson. It doesn't go to a great grandson. It's not Paladik Kesav Mishnah. Yes, the Mishnah writes that he thinks that maybe it goes all generations. He's great, 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 and it keeps on going. Ram Shapel, the Gemara says, Acheichan Chayev Adam, if it only means a grandson, it's a very, very difficult Kesav Mishnah. And Kesav Mishnah throws another Shiloh out. He says, well, what's the din? When we speak about a grandson, so does that mean only Avi Aviv? That means only a Ben? That means only a grandson through the son? What about a Ben Abbas? What about your daughter's son? Is there a special chiyuv? Of course, it's a very nice thing for the grandfather to teach everybody. He's going to teach Kol HaTzarkul to everybody. But in terms of the unique chiyuv to teach a grandson, so is it only Ben HaBen, like the Pasuk of Dathan, Levanecha, Levanei, Vanecha? Or do you say no? But any subject. So any type of grandson would be included. So he's not sure exactly what the din is. There is a fascinating tshuva of Kivega that we spoke a little bit about last year, written by Bris Mila, which relates to this sugya also. Kivega writes the following shaila. We mentioned before that the Rambam Shita is that the bracha that appears at the end of the 19th parak of Shabbos, Lachnisa Bavisa Shalom Avinu, is basically the father's bracha. And if the father's not around, then the bracha is not recited by anybody. So we have not to pass it like the Rambam. We pass it like the other Mishanim, the father's not around, so somebody else makes the bracha. Who makes the bracha? So the minig is that the son that he usually makes the bracha. So Rabbi Kivega had the following shayla. There was a bris, but the father wasn't around, and the son that was some tamachach, whatever it was, and I think the grandfather was the miles. I forget who exactly was what. So the shayla was, who should make the bracha? Should we say that the bracha of Achnisa should be made by the son, which is usually what the minig is? Or do we say that somehow the grandfather has a special schus to recite the bracha of Lachnisa? Grandfather, what's the grandfather doing with Mila? The Chiyuv Mila is only in the father. So Kivega quotes this Gemara in Kedushin Daf Lamed, and he says that he thinks that the grandfather has more of a shaychus to the bracha of Lachnisa than anybody else. Why should that be? So he says as follows: this bracha of Lachnisa is a very strange bracha. Nobody really, all the Shemar of different Shokim. Why the Chazal institute this bracha Lachnisa Bevisa Shalom Levino? So we just made a bracha La Mila a second ago. So in fact, Sebi Shemar said, Lachnisa was not even a brachas of mitzvah altogether, it's only a brachas of shevach, because it's not shaykh, you have two brachas for the same mitzvah. And the Rambam says that Lachnisa was on the chiyuv miyuchad on the father, But Rav Rishayim had a different shot. There's a Avud Rav, if I'm not mistaken, who quotes such a shot, who says that the bracha of Lachniso is the bracha on Kedushin Chavtesa Menahu. That's the bracha that said on all the Chiyuvei Av Alabein. It means the father throughout a lifetime is going to do a lot of different Chiyuvei Av Alabein. He's going to do a mitzvah, maybe a pidyon ben, he's going to teach him Torah, he's going to teach him the sword, he's going to get him to teach him a trade, he's going to get him married off. It's a 25-year ordeal. So at what point is he going to make a bracha on this? Every time, as soon as he enrolls his child in the first secular studies course, he's going to make a bracha. Well, yesterday I took my little one to the lake, so I threw him into the lake. So I took a bracha, shekhi dishan, and la shita benar. So when are you going to make this bracha exactly? So the Avraham writes, of course, in the bush, and they also later I learned this idea that there's one big bracha that's on everything. The hakol mikol kolam. When is this bracha said? But the first one, it makes sense. The first of the mitzvahs of avla ben you do, so you make the general bracha for all the things that you do during the course of your lifetime. Lachnisa mevisa shalom avinu v'chule v'chule v'chule, and everything else that follows the lachnisa mevisa shalom avinu. That's how some tie up what the bracha of lachnisa is all about. That would make a little bit of sense according to the Rambam. That's why maybe the bracha is really not appropriate to be said by somebody else. But I'll call upon it. We have somebody else say it, but it's basically the bracha that's said on kol chiyuvei av. So says Rabbi Kiveger, says since this bracha is shayach to the chi of Olam and is benel Torah, so then it makes a lot of sense that the grandfather should have a kedima to make this bracha, because the grandfather does have a chi of gomer min haTorah to teach his grandson Torah. The ben abein for sure, kedushin aflam and oralef odal with anach we passing kizvul ben dad, that there is a chi to teach a grandson Torah. So since this bracha is not just a bris mila bracha, but it's a bracha all the chi of Abel abein. So that it would make sense that the bracha of Lachnisa should be said by the grandfather rather than by a stranger. That's the first brother of Kiveger quotes.
There are here quotes that immediately. There are here immediately.
Then he quotes a different part, which is very, very difficult to understand. Kiveger writes that, you know, we say that a father is a chiyuv to imal a son, or a father is a chiyuv to the pigeon of ben on a son. So Kiveger says we shouldn't forget there's a klal halach called bnei banim aram kibanim. It reminds us in a few places. That bnei banim aram kibanim. There is a certain relationship between a grandfather and a grandson, which is similar to the relationship between a father and a son. Some folks, hopefully, we'll get to the sins of kibbutz avraham. Some folks will say that there's a chiyuv in mechaber a grandfather based on the din of bnei banim aram kibanim. That's already a big shaila. But Rabbi Kiveger says that it could be that there is a little bit of a chiyuv of a grandfather to be mal his grandson. It's not the real chiyuv of kashetziva ser lekim. It's not the real mekoy of the father to the son, but it may be also a mitzvah, maybe also some kind of a chiyuv, some kind of a quasi chiyuv for a grandfather to make sure that the grandson has a bris mila based on the principle of bnei banim harehem kibanim. That's what Kiveger says. So for those two reasons, he thinks that it's appropriate that the grandfather should be kedima to make the bracha lachnisa. Even like the Avudram and the Lavosh, if the bracha lachnisa was going on the chiyuv of Talmud Torah, which is for sure a chiyuv on the grandfather when we pass in, and even if that's not true, but alfa b'chein, even within the meal itself, there's some kind of meal that the grandfather has based on bnei banim aram kibanim. But that second ha'ara of Rabbi Kiveger seems very, very difficult. Why? Because it seems to be mamish against the Gemara in Kiddushin, the Flam and the Menalim. The Gemara is a whole sugya. How do you know that you're mechuyev to teach your grandson Torah? So the Gemara is a machlekes. Is that really teaching us to teach them Torah? Or is that just saying that if you do it, then it's a great thing, but it's not a chiyuv gomer? How come the Gemara doesn't say bnei banim aram kibanim? But Gabi the Chiv of teaching a grandson Torah. Happened the Gemara wasn't Mechadish that. Happened the Gemara needs a special Pasuk, a special Gzeresak Pasuk, to be Mechadish that there's a Chiv to teach a grandson. And those Tanarim who didn't have the Gzeresak Pasuk, who thought the Pasuk meant something else, back of hell, there's no Chiv to teach a grandson. So why doesn't Pnei Banim Aram Kibanim play out in Kedushin the Flam and the Manala? So the answer to that question is probably based on the Taisus of Maseches Yevamos, the Taisus points out, but if you look carefully in the Gemara, so sometimes the Gemara uses bnei banim aram kibanim, and sometimes the Gemara doesn't use it. So what's the difference? When do you say it and when don't you say it? The Torah says, you look carefully at the psukim. Sometimes the Torah uses the phrase of zera, and sometimes the Torah uses the phrase ubein. Whenever the Torah uses the phrase zera, so zera has the connotation of continuity. So zera says, nice, for zera means even my great-great-great-grandson, they're also going to be my zera. They're not ubein, they're my zera. So says Tosfos, that whenever the halach is formulated in terms of zera, so then the halach is bnei banim aram kibanim. You don't need a pasuk. You don't need a zera sekasa to be married by grandchildren. Zera shalom, whoever's considered to be the continuity of me, whatever's bottom my zera, even if 20 generations down, is still called my zera. But when the Torah uses the word ben, Getting means a bed. B'nei Bamarem Gebanim is just a phrase that Chazal used in describing a din that's based on the phrase Zera. Whenever the halacha is based on the phrase of bed, then you don't say B'nei Bamarem Gebanim unless you have a special pasuk. So sometimes you do have a pasuk, like let's say by Yibum it says Ubeinei Lo. So the Gemara's discussion, you say B'nei Bamarem Gebanim. A lot of places by Yerusha it says Ubeinei Lo. So the Gemara says Ben Menayin. So very often we are ma'ab b'nei banim, but we're only ma'ab b'nei banim, and there's a special zayasakasa to do so. Just to invoke a plow and say b'nei banim are kibanim, and his grandchildren are the same as children. So that's not true. That's only true when the Torah says it in lashon zera. That's what the Gemara Kiddushin is assuming. That's why no one in Kiddushin says that you have to teach your grandchild Torah based on b'nei banim are kibanim. The only malkor to teach your grandchild Torah is well, davul v'nech le'vanech, a special zayasakasa. So if you don't accept that zayasakasa, if you learn a different shah and exeris a process, so then Papa, there is no din. So when it comes to the chiyuv lomo l'saben, so v'yomo avram es yitzav b'no, it says. So b'no doesn't mean b'nei banim regular. It doesn't say v'yomo avram es yitzav zaro. It says it's yitzav b'no. So the chiyuv was formulated in terms of ben, and it was formulated in terms of ben. So you don't say b'nei banim regular kibanim. So that sefer the arvim b'kinegar, the chur is a very big chiddush. The chur is against the talking of the zirut b'kinegar. The pash is that Rebbe Kivit is against this Gemara and Kedushin Daflam and against the Tazim Yivamus also. The Din may be right. Rebbe Kivit may be right anyway, because it could be that those Rishon who say the Brach Lachniso is Shaykh the Tama Torah. So that's enough of a Svara to tell you that the grandfather has Kedim and the Bracha. But to say that the grandfather has Kedim and the Bracha because he has more the Chiv of Bris Mila on the grandson than any other Jew, so that's very, very difficult. And that the pash is negated from this whole Sugi and Kedushin Daflam and Abraham. So I'll call upon him. This basic chiyuv, the basic obligation of teaching a child Torah, so we have to take into consideration. Whether we're talking about Torah Shavachsav, Torah Shavapel, whether we're talking about Pischar, we're talking about Pechinam, whether we're talking about the chiyuv of Kol Yisrael, the personal chiyuv, how this plays out in terms of Bava Basra, the chiyuv of paying tuition, the Eis, the Rabbanon, and then how the obligation, the unique obligation of the grandfather fits in. So these are some of the highlights of this decision. So tomorrow we'll stop at that soon.